You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And we're in Florida for the winter meetings together. It's always nice to do these podcasts in person, but there was snow in Atlanta this yeah. week. I just want to start there because this is something that never happens. Did you make it out of your drive? Did you have to do some shoveling?
No, didn't have to do any shoveling. But see, I think I've been there 22 years now. I will say that was the first legit snowfall. Now, we've had the ice storms and other snow, but this was one where started snow at 10 a.m. and people have seen the pictures of SunTrust Park. There was a legit few inches there, and you know, fortunately, my had a street light over top of my driveway, so no need for me to shovel.
Yeah, it melts quick in Atlanta for sure. All right, let's move on to this baseball team. And obviously, you come here to the winter meetings, and there are some needs. This team's getting close. The plan is kind of come together a little bit. Obviously, there's all the young talent. I don't think 2017 was quite the step they thought it could be, but I think it was a step. So when you get to the winter meetings here heading into 2018, let's go through kind of the goals and what this team needs to do. First off, they need bullpen help.
They do. You look at that bullpen. Let's say who could be your closer's top set of men. We're looking at Aroldis Vizcaíno, Jose Ramirez, and A.J. Minter. A.J. Minter struck out 17 of the last 31 batters he faced last year. He has closer's material. He has all kinds of stuff that you can get excited about. He also has 2 months' worth of major league experience.
Yeah.
Aroldis Vizcaíno, look, he's been around, it feels like forever, but at the same time, injury history. I don't think he does not have vast experience. Jose Ramirez has shown flashes that he can be, a pretty dependable guy there in the late innings, but he fatigued late last year. He's really only got one full season under his belt at the big league level. They need to go add some experience. There is some depth there. They've got Daniel Winkler, Sam Freeman, some other guys that they can pencil in there. Because their rotation is so young, they're probably going to go with an 8-man bullpen as well. So that's one extra piece. You know, they were wise, I believe, to move Jim Johnson. You know, that was one of the most questionable signings last year, and it really happened at the final day of the 2016 season. Their former GM, John Coppola, signs Jim Johnson to a 2-year deal because he had 4 good months, but at the same time, 3 days later, he got rid of Roger McDowell, the pitching coach, who had fixed him. And I think that's one of those things where you have to question that. That's why Jim Johnson had clicked under Rogers' direction. Now, to get rid of him, he was the veteran arm, but I think what you saw last year, there was probably more of that to come. So they need to add a guy, maybe even one guy just for, your sixth, seventh inning guy like a Peter Moylan, but then maybe also go ahead and get a guy that can handle the eighth or ninth innings.
So the bullpen is a need. The rotation is more of a, hey, at some point, I mean, there's obviously this young talent coming up, a lot of starters, a lot of talented arms that people are high on, but at some point you need that veteran, right? You need that guy that can step out there towards the top. So is the question about timing, is now the time versus maybe a year from now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, well, I think timing could be right now if the right piece, becomes available. I don't think you want to, you don't want to make a deal to make a deal right now. You don't have to. I think next year it's much more important to have that piece in place. But if that piece becomes available this year, you go get it. Let's just, we talked about what kind of strides did they make in 2017 in terms of record and everything. There wasn't anything significant. But I think the one thing they could say from a developmental standpoint is they were able to get Ozzy Albies up there to the big leagues from a lineup perspective. Dansby Swanson was able to go through the growing pains. But the most important thing was to get starts for Sean Newcomb, Luis Gohara, Max Fried, Lucas Sims. Each of those guys now comes into this season, just understanding maybe what the challenge ahead is. That doesn't mean there won't be more growing pains for each of them. At the same time, Let's put Mike Foltynewicz in there. It was his third year as well, but it was his first full season. He made some strides. So I think that was from that. Maybe there wasn't anything overwhelmingly great that happened within the rotation, but just to get them those starts, that was important. But now let's take a step back and remind people how young this rotation is. Julio Teheran is the only one who has made more than 65 starts. Fulton Nevich has made 65. The third most experienced in terms of major league starts, the starter on that staff is Sean Newcomb with 19 starts. And then you're getting down into, you know, Lucas Sims making 10. Other guys, you know, Gohara, Freed. You need to, you know, we talked about it. It's nice to add a veteran. You need to add somebody that is experienced, is going to eat those innings, and it'd be also nice to have somebody that can guide them, you know, just from a day-to-day, setting the example. This is how it's done around here. You know, I think that, you know, Smoltz and Glavin, those, they were able to watch, and Steve Avery as well, they were able to watch Charlie Liebrandt do his thing. You know, it's just nice to, for so many years, the Braves had Tim Hudson there. For their young guys to see how it's done. And I think it's nice to just have that veteran voice within that clubhouse, that guy that when they struggle, they can go to him and talk to him. And guys did that with R.A. Dickey last year. You know, from what I understand, at least from a work ethic perspective, he was important. Sometimes you can't necessarily relate with everything when you're a knuckleballer, right, that they're going through. But I think it would be nice to add that piece.
Yeah, great point about it being, it's as much personality probably as talent, because he's got to fit, he's got to help these guys along. The other spot you look at is third base. They have a third baseman, Johan Camargo, I think showed last year that he can do that, but he could also do other things, right? So it's kind of a decision, and is that decision based on what's available as far as do we get a third baseman or do we get a utility man, and he's our third baseman?
Yeah, I mean, you've got your choice there. I mean, you can go and go either way there, because Camargo can play third base. Let's go back a year ago. If you would have asked me about Johan Camargo, I would say he might be an interesting piece in spring training, and that's what he became.
Yeah.
He grew into, his shoulders got bigger. He just physically matured, and he became a better player. What was he good enough to be the everyday third baseman last year? Sure. Was he, you know, did he deserve to take over the shortstop spot there after the All-Star break when Dansby Swanson was struggling? Yeah. But at the same time, you know, let's take a step back and let's not anoint him as an everyday player when a year ago we weren't necessarily sure. And at the same time, he can help your bench because he can play so many different positions. So I think that moving forward, you know, you ask about a Martin Prado. He's pricey for the next 2 years. I think he's $23 million. He's coming off an injury-plagued season, but he's still loved in Atlanta. If you can get a short-term guy like that, that bridges the gap to Austin Riley. A lot of fans have probably heard of Austin Riley by now. You know, his prospect star is rising. He did perform pretty well in Arizona. You know, I think that's, you're looking at, the question is, do you put Camargo there and go get a bench piece, or do you get a guy to bridge to Austin Riley? And then with Camargo, the decision with Camargo influences, you know, whether you're going to have to go get two bench pieces or one. If he's one of them, you're only having to go out there on that free agent or trade market looking for one extra bench piece right now.
Obviously, it's interesting when a new front office goes into their first winter meetings, and that's what we're looking at for the Braves. It hasn't been that long with Alex Anthopoulos. He made a couple key hires to that front office on Sunday, but when you compare Coppolella to what you've witnessed in a short time with Anthopoulos, and you look back on what he did with the Blue Jays, you know, what are the different? What is the philosophical difference there?
Well, I think it's maybe too early to know exactly what the philosophical differences are, just because Alex has come in here and he's had to devour a lot of information, and I think it's probably fitting that his last night before interviewing with the Braves was game 5 of the World Series. That was crazy. He was probably awake much later than he wanted to be. And then flies to Atlanta. 2 weeks later, he gets thrown into this job. You know, I think that, you know, I think Coppy and Alex have some similarities.
Yeah.
I really do. But at the same time, I think that Alex has the benefit of having been elsewhere. He was able to, you know, go to Toronto, do his thing, and every day, in any of us, we learn, you know, as we, whatever job we're doing, he can step away. He goes to L.A. and is surrounded by a lot of other great baseball minds. I think these past 2 years in L.A. probably benefited Alex as much as, you know, more than he even envisioned. And I asked him about it a few weeks ago, and he said, I would like to have had one more year there. You know, it was that much of a benefit to be able to be around that many great baseball minds. And I think that, you know, moving forward, I think he will continue to be aggressive when the time is right. As we saw in Toronto, he was never afraid to make the big deal. And the pieces are going to be here in place in Atlanta for him to make that big deal when he wants within the next couple of years.
There's no question that he takes over this team at a great time with all this young talent coming up. And it is interesting because when he left the Blue Jays, he left of his own accord. He wasn't let go by them. He decided that with the new front office coming in, he just wanted to do his thing. I feel like he could have jumped to another GM job directly if he had wanted to. It seems like he knew that, hey, maybe my best move is to go and learn something in another organization. What better organization are the Dodgers, which, what you said, they're just loaded with great minds. So he comes to the Braves, and obviously they lose 13 international prospects because of mistakes made by the previous regime. Now those guys are starting to sign around the league, and you see them getting bonuses with different teams. How frustrating do you think it is for an organization now to have to just witness this? All these guys that you had in your lower levels of your system that were being a system that was praised and still is still a great system. But now you see these players all over the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the one step you knew this was going to happen. I guess when the punishment came, you were at least able to anticipate these guys are going to go elsewhere. So I think the most painful part of the process will be once they start to develop. And, you know, not all 13 of them are going to make it to the big leagues or anything like that. But when 4, 5, 6, or Kevin Maiton or Gutierrez or Soto or one of these, you know, high ceiling guys goes ahead and lives up to that potential and becomes an all-star, that's going to be the painful part. Yep. So right now, yes, it's frustrating. You take a step back, and our own Jim Callis and many others have still said, hey, look, they still believe that the Braves had the second best farm system. And I get that from a prospect ranking. They're probably exact. If you look at the top 30 prospects, they still have, you know, some of the game's best prospects and quite a few of them. They only lost two of their top 30 within right. MLB Pipeline's rankings. But I think when we say, you know, how did that affect the farm system? Let's not forget, you just took 13 players out of a system. You lost financially. You don't get any of that money back. We're talking a loss of 20-plus million and close to 30 million in terms of just when you look at all the costs in terms of signing bonuses, everything else. And then at the same time, as you move forward, you don't have that depth. They just took 13 players away from your system, 12 of them that were already within it. And now moving forward, let's say 2 years from now, you know, Gutierrez is one of the top catching prospects. He's doing his thing. Alex Jackson's doing his thing. All of them have some trade value. A team calls and says, we want one of your catchers. You've got, at that time, you've got three guys that you say, we can trade him because that guy's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you take 13 pieces out, that's going to affect you in some way, shape, or form. You don't want to just refer to players as currency, but this is currency. This currency was just taken away from. So do they still have top talent within their farm system? Yes, but let's not forget this will have an impact within that farm system for many years to come. And at the same time, they basically have 5 years of worth of restrictions within the international market. Right. 2016 was basically a wash now because most of those players were taken away from them. You know, these past 2 years, they've been, you know, restricted because of the money they spent in 16. The next 2 years after that, they're going to be dealing with their punishment. So it's 5 years without much value or really maybe any value on the international market is going to have its impact. And I think moving forward, that's why you're going to see Alex take that money, the international bonus pool money, and maybe make a lot of trades over the next few years, because whatever value you're going to get with the limited amount of money you can spend down there, you probably could benefit yourself by being creative with a trade by using that money.
It puts a lot of pressure, I think, on scouting domestically and drafting right, because you got to nail your drafts now because you're not going to be able to fall back on international stuff. All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.